You're listening to Qalam Institute's podcast. Visit us on the web at qalaminstitute.org and join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Ali Dhati Azim Sifati Sami Simati Kabir Shan Jalil al Qadir al Rafi' al Dhikri Muta'i al Amri Jalil al Burhan Fakhim al Ismi Ghazil al Ilmi Wasil Hilmi Kathir al Ghufran جميل الثناء جزيل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سري الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن توحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن تقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين ودعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an and through the life of the beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us on how to live our lives. And the beauty of our way of life that we call Islam is the balance that it contains, the balance that it holds, the balance that it advocates, the balance that it instructs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes this balance through different words and in different ways. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this ummah, He calls this ummah ummatan wasata, which means the best ummah but also means the middle ummah because of the balance. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizes to us, gives us a method or a principle on how to live our lives, a philosophy by which to live our lives, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, khairul umuri awsatuha. That the best of affairs and the best of ways to handle things is the middle path. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a balanced messenger. This deen is balanced. Even this Qur'an contains balance. And so our entire way of life is based off of this balance, and we live our lives in a constant effort and struggle to maintain that balance. One imbalance that occurs many times in the lives of believers and Muslims, and something that I speak about very, very publicly and very often, is a lot of times when we become imbalanced in regards to our family or our work and our professional and personal lives. That it is possible to become overzealous, to become overindulgent within what we at least perceive to be religion and neglect our families and neglect our personal lives due to that. And to let our families and our personal lives fall by the wayside. That is completely possible. When those three young companions of the Prophet ﷺ came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they one said that I will never get married, one said I will never sleep at nights again, and one said I will fast every single day of my life, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was angry with them. He was very upset at what they had said. And how upset he was visible from his even facial features, that his face became very red. The vein was protruding in his forehead. And he was very stern in how he spoke to them. أَنَا أَتْقَاكُمْ وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُكُمْ. He said, I know more than you and I have more God consciousness than you do. In spite of that, I am married and I fast some days and I don't fast some days. And I sleep for some time during the night, but then I pray and I worship and I stand during some time during the night. So the Prophet of Allah taught us balance. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوُ فِي الدِّينِ. that the Prophet ﷺ told us to be very careful about extremism within the religion. And that extremism could also be that when we decide or when we come to the very incorrect conclusion that my religion requires me to sacrifice my family. My religion requires me to completely sabotage my personal and family life. And then that is the meaning of religion. Then that's an incorrect understanding of the religion. Having said that, and I wanted to present balance here in the khutbah today. Having said that and understood that, we have to be conscious of the other extreme though. Because in that same Quran, in the same book of Allah, in which Allah emphasizes the rights of the spouse and the rights of the children and the rights of the parents and the rights of the family and even your own rights upon yourself, that same Quran and that same life of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in those same places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also brings our attention to the opposite extreme. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That at the same time, don't become so overindulgent into your personal and family affairs that you forget about the remembrance of Allah. That you become distracted from the remembrance of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it for a reason when He said, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. That your wealth and your own family can sometimes become a means of test and trial, can become a means of spiritual tribulation for you. And one of those ways in which we can sometimes become so overindulgent into our own personal lives, and achieving our own personal happiness, the pursuit of happiness as it's called. We can become so overinvested into that, that one major thing we sometimes end up neglecting, and I wanted to talk about it today, not on the basis of a political platform, but speak about it from a human perspective and speak about it from a spiritual perspective. You know, I often say, and I teach young brothers and different brothers how to give khutbah. And when I do that, I often tell them that the minbar is not CNN. I often tell them that the minbar is not CNN. The purpose of the minbar here is not for me to deliver the news to you. And being very conscious of that same advice that I give and trying to live by that same advice, I'm not going to deliver the news to you here, but I will bring to your attention something that we're all aware of all the suffering that's going on in the world, but particularly right now, as we sit and stand here right now, you have to know about what's going on with our Muslim brothers and sisters halfway across the world in Syria. And what they're going through and what they're struggling through. Now, I wanted to address this from a human and a spiritual perspective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hujarat, Surah number 49, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the construct of a Muslim community. He gives us the construct of a Muslim community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very powerful. He says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. That most definitely the believers are nothing but brothers. That the believers are absolutely, without a doubt, they are brothers. But what's interesting about that ayah, when we study it a little bit deeper, we take a little bit of a deeper look at the ayah, we learn something very valuable, very profound. This is the depth, the beauty, and the power of the kalam of Allah. The word for brother in the Arabic language is akh, brother. But this is the plural of that word. But at the same time, there are two different types of plural for the word akh. There are two plurals. One is ikhwan, which you might have heard more often. And the other is ikhwatun, ikhwa. And both are used in the Quran, in the book of Allah. But there are different connotations to both. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses one over another, it's being used for a very specific divine reason and purpose. This is the eloquence of the Quran. It's part of the miracle of the book of Allah. The word ikhwan in the Arabic language can be used for both biological brothers, like blood brothers that share a mother or a father or both, biological brothers, siblings. And it can also be used figuratively. So when you call somebody your brother because they're a Muslim, or you call somebody your brother because you went to school together, or you call somebody your brother because they're your best friend, or you call somebody your brother because they're your teammate, something of that nature, Figuratively, you're calling somebody a brother. The word for that in Arabic, the plural for that in Arabic is ikhwan. The word ikhwa that's used here in Surah Al-Hujarat is specifically used in classical Arabic when speaking about biological siblings. People who share a mother or a father or both. Now, we know obviously when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ, that most definitely the believers, have no doubt about the fact that the believers are brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't literally mean that they are siblings, because we're not. You and I don't share the same mother, father. We don't have the same parents. We're not biologically siblings. And in fact, that's an impossibility. But this is a form, this is a rhetorical function. This is eloquence within the Quran. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the word, when even though He's addressing figurative brotherhood between believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses and borrows the word that is used for biological siblings. That the brotherhood that believers share with each other should be no different in its strength, in its compassion, in its mercy, in its concern. It should be no less and no different than the love that biological siblings share for each other. Now think about that for a second. If my own biological brother, my own little brother, who I love very dearly, he's my blood. I feel like I raised him. I've seen him grow up. I worry about him. I make sure he has something to eat in the morning. I check on his grades and his school and how everything is going. If that brother of mine was stuck in a situation like our brothers and sisters are right now, if he was stuck over there, answer very honestly within your own heart, would you even be able to sleep at night? Would you be able to sit down at a 7-course meal and eat food? Would you be able to play video games and watch TV and just have no worries and no concerns? Of course not. We wouldn't have the ability to do that. We'd be so troubled. We'd be so worried. We'd be so disturbed. Our lives would be turned upside down. If my brother, if my own sibling was injured, was hurt, I wouldn't rest until I was by his or her side. And if my own sibling, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our families, but if my own sibling, may Allah protect them, but if my own sibling was killed, was harmed, think about the personal anguish I would experience. If my own sibling was stuck over there, and even if I didn't physically, or even financially, I didn't have the capability, the capacity to do anything to be able to help him or her. I was helpless. I would at least wake up in the middle of the night and I would stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I would spread my hands before Allah and I would cry. I would cry tears of blood if possible. And I would cry to Allah, oh Allah, please help them. At the very least. You know, people often ask a question. You know, how do we reflect on pain and suffering that goes on in the world? How do we reflect on that? There are many different things to be talked about in that regard. But one thing that's relevant to our discussion here, to the khutbah here today, is that when pain and suffering, when some tragedy befalls human beings, and in our specific case, believers, in any part of the world, one very valuable lesson we learn in that situation is we get to know something about ourselves. We find out what we're made of. We get to know something very, very personal about ourselves. That's a real moment. That's when you get a true analysis and a read on yourself. That it's easy to say, it's easy to talk, it's even easy for me to stand here at the minbar and then yell and shout and scream. But I get to know something about myself when it's the middle of the night when I'm going to sleep and I'm checking on my kids, making sure the blankets are pulled up, and I ask my wife if everything's okay, and I call my mom or my dad and I say, everything's khair, everything's good, alhamdulillah, everything's all right. And I send my own brother a text message. All right, man, hope everything's okay. Talk to you tomorrow, inshallah. And I sit down and I make some dua for myself and my business and my family. At that moment, I find out a little something about myself. Do I remember my brothers and sisters at least in my dua or not? Do I at least am cognizant of the fact, troubled at least to the extent where I will at least sit and say a 60-second dua for them or not? This is the bottom line. There's absolutely nothing less than this. And that's a gauge of our iman. That's a gauge of how sincere we are when we call ourselves believers and we call ourselves Muslims. And so I wanted to just bring this up today as a reminder for myself first and foremost. And also if it benefits my brothers and sisters here at the khutbah. That there is always, constantly, there's something going on in the world. And I'm aware of that. But when something this severe is going on, and we're aware of it, and there are brothers and sisters, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, in Surah Anbiya, Surah number 21, Ayah number 92, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. In hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes, inna, most definitely, this ummah, inna hadhihi ummatukum, this ummah of yours is ummatan, is one ummah. The word ummatan already means one ummah. Then Allah repeats the one and says, wahidatan. That's repetition, that's takrar, litawqeed. That's for emphasis. That Allah is saying that most definitely, make no doubt about the fact that this nation, this ummah of yours, and Allah gives us ownership of the ummah. This is your ummah. This is your, you know, when you're like when your parents try to give you some advice, some nasiha, and maybe you're defying the family, maybe you're doing something destructive to the family, maybe they feel like you don't care about the family. What do they tell you? This is your family. This is your family that you're doing this to. Allah is saying this is your ummah. Your family, your ummah. Ummatan, one family. Wahidatan, and only one family. Imagine like you are one household. How you care for the people in your household. How you care for the people under your roof. Learn to care at least emotionally. At least emotionally be invested into the ummah. As you are with your own family, or at least make an effort, strive to do that at some level. وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. Another place in Surah Al-Mu'minun, وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. And Allah reminds us, just in case if we forgot, what connects us? Why are we connected? Why should I care we're connected? Allah reminds us of why we're connected and why we should care that we're connected. وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. Allah says, because I am your Lord. Allah says, because I am your Rabb. I am your Lord. So worship me. All of you worship me. All of you be cognizant of me. And the way that part of our sincerity in the worship of Allah and in recognizing Allah is respecting the relationships that Allah has put into place. That's the importance of respecting the parents. That's why Allah states it after Tawheed, that if you're sincere in your Tawheed, you will respect your parents. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you're sincere in accepting Allah as your Rabb and in worshiping and being cognizant of Allah, then you will respect this relationship that Allah has put into place between the ummah. وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. And Allah says, be cognizant of me, because all of us will go back and answer Allah. All of us will go back and answer Allah. And if I didn't take care, I didn't at least do something. Like I said, I couldn't even make a 60-second dua. I couldn't even shed a tear for my brothers and sisters, for my believing brothers and sisters. I will have to answer to Allah. And I must be cognizant and even apprehensive about that day. Worried about that day when I will have to stand and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could ask me whether or not I cared for the ummah, whether or not I cared for my believing family or not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He emphasizes this relationship with the family, with the ummah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us a very beautiful example A very powerful analogy. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that the believers, كَجَسَدٍ وَاحِدٍ, they are like one body. إِذَا اشْتَكَى بَعْضُهُ اشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ. When part of it hurts or part of it suffers, all of it hurts and all of it suffers. You know, to be very honest with you, sometimes you understand the basic meaning of an ayah or a hadith, but you really don't fully grasp it until you have a personal experience, and in light of that personal experience, it makes complete sense. The moment in which I understood that analogy of the Prophet ﷺ properly was a good friend of mine had some back problems. Young man, athletic person, in good health, he had back problems. Made no sense for him to have back problems. He goes in to see a doctor, a specialist, and they do x-rays and the whole nine yards. I meet him afterwards and I ask him, well, how'd the checkup go? What did the doctor say about your back? He said that there's a problem with my leg. I said, wait a second. You said you had your back hurt. What is this about your leg? He said that there's some type of a problem with my leg. And what was happening was that my back was compensating for the leg, for the adjustment in the leg. And that's why my back started to hurt, because of the problem in my leg. And I just stopped dead in my tracks. I said, Subhanallah. That's what the Prophet ﷺ was talking about. That when a part of the ummah hurts, another part of the ummah compensates and tries to take the pain away from it, even if it has to take the pain on themselves. That's the concept of an ummah. Let us try to do as much as we can, at least in the form of dua, at least in the form of prayers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least in the form of being concerned and being somewhat troubled by the situation of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam today. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iri al-muslimin fastaghfiruh innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. So to conclude the topic on a more, again, practical note, so that everybody has something, aside from the realization and the reminder that we try to achieve during the khutbatul jumu'ah, during the Friday sermon, at the same time, something practical to take home with us. If nothing else, just one thing. Don't just watch the news, don't just read the news, but try to internalize and try to achieve at some level. This requires some tafakkur, some tadabbur. It'll require sitting down and contemplating and thinking and internalizing the message. But try to imagine what your personal distress would be like if it was in your own family. And then try to recreate at least some level of that emotion when it comes to our brothers and sisters halfway across the world that are suffering today. And at the very least, today is a very blessed day. Today is the day of Jumu'ah. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that there is a sa'ah. There is a moment on the day, blessed day of Friday, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the prayers and the du'as of the believers. The supplications of the believers, Allah accepts. And many scholars have stated at least their own personal opinions and convictions, and these are corroborated by, you know, the understanding of many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that many of them said that that moment is very likely that it's between the time of Asr and Maghrib on the day of Friday. Many scholars have said that it's very likely that that moment of the acceptance of prayers is between Asr and Maghrib. Today, at least on the day of Jumu'ah, let's immediately implement what we talked and what we listened to here today. When you get done with your Jumu'ah prayer, it's a great moment. You just offered Salatul Jumu'ah. Before we run out the door, before we rush out the door, let's stop for 60 seconds and make dua. Just make dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help our brothers and sisters. Today, when you pray Salatul Asr, wherever you might be at work, you might be at home, possibly come to the masjid as is best. But wherever you pray Salatul Asr, take another extra 60 seconds, if nothing more. I'm giving the bottom line here, the bare minimum. Take an extra 60 seconds. And again, make dua. And make it heartfelt. To ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless, to alleviate, and to help our brothers and sisters who are suffering today. And inshallah, just as a quick announcement, alhamdulillah, it's again a pleasure and an honor to be visiting your community here and getting to know the brothers and sisters here in this community. And as I visited last month and had the opportunity to talk to the community, inshallah, I'm visiting here this weekend in connection with a course and a program that I'll be teaching here at the Islamic Center, here at this masjid, inshallah, beginning this evening at 7 p.m., titled Meaningful Prayer, The Linguistic Beauty of Salah. How we can create better focus and khushu' and concentration in our salah. And what we'll do is we'll explore the meaning of what we read in salah. And this evening we will go through the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha and how it's a conversation between us and Allah when we read it in our salah. So it should be very beneficial for everyone, for myself and everyone involved, inshallah. We all work and strive to improve the quality of our prayers. So I wanted to invite and welcome everyone to come join us 7 p.m. here at the masjid, inshallah. And there's absolutely, it's open to everyone. All audiences of all backgrounds, brothers and sisters, young and old. There's no prerequisite knowledge, nor is there any registration or anything required for this evening's program. It's an open invitation to the community. Please come, bring others. Let's improve our salah together as a community, as brothers and sisters. Allahumma izzil Islam wal Muslimin. Allahumma ansuril Islam wal Muslimin. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ja'alna sabab al min ihtada. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma ahsin aqibatana fil umuri kulliha. وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وصلى الله تعالى على النبي الكريم قال الله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة